Last week I mentioned about that blessed hope that we have as Christians, and you know, we are to set our sights on Jesus coming back. Hallelujah. He is coming, and he's coming for a prepared people. And the question is, are you ready? Am I ready to meet God? Hallelujah. Are we ready to meet him? Whether he comes, as it were, through the clouds, or whether he takes us in our sleep or whatever, are we ready? He's coming for a prepared people. Hallelujah. And it's all Jesus' work. We just have to say, Lord, I love you. Help me to follow you. Help me to be obedient to you. Help me, because I said last week, if Jesus is returning, and he is, may our lives reflect that, and that we please God. Our future is full of hope. Hallelujah. And our life as believers has meaning. Glory to his name. A church of impact. A fellowship of impact. Individuals of impact. Living under the supernatural blessings of God. Living under, I'm not sure if we've got the title, but living under the supernatural blessings of God. This week, and maybe over the next 2 or 3 weeks, as the Lord will help us, I want us to just take on board that the Lord will in his mercy impact us with these supernatural blessings. Because according to the word of God, according to the Bible, the secret of being blessed, the secret of having a fruitful life, of being prosperous as God defines prosperity, is to delight in the law of God, is to delight in the word, is to have our delight in Jesus, and meditate day and night, and to meditate day and night in the word. And my hope is that we will be able to strengthen each other and teach the Lord's people how to walk under supernatural blessings of God in these last days. That you will walk and live under the supernatural blessing of God in these last days. Hallelujah. How can we release, as it were, the miraculous and supernatural power of God in our life, in our family, even in our community and nation? May the Lord help us to understand from his word and cause us to rise up in faith. Hallelujah. We need to renew our mind in the word of God. Do we not? Precious word of God. This is God's word for us. Is his gift to us. Hallelujah. Thank you. He's given us the word, Jesus. Hallelujah. He came and dwelt among us. Glory to his name. He who was in the beginning has come. He's manifest himself on earth. He's taken a body like yours and mine. Hallelujah. And then he went to the cross. He died, but he's risen again. He's ascended on high. He's coming back. Jesus has identified with us. He identifies with you today with whatever your particular need or struggle or burden is. He identifies and he wants you to understand he is supernatural. He is rich in grace and power. My grace is sufficient for you. He has given us this precious word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We need, friends, to renew our mind with the word of God. And may God help us as we look into this word, because it is the truth that sets us free. Hallelujah. You see, it is a sad, sad fact, friends, that certainly in the Western nations, to a large extent, many, many Christians live their everyday lives with little difference between those who do not know God. This shouldn't be. And I don't want to bring any of us into, as it were, condemnation. I pray the Holy Spirit will convict me and us all where it's needed, because when the Holy Spirit convicts us, he wants then to release us and bring us into that freedom. But there has to be acknowledgement that we're not where we should be. But this does seem to me that to a large extent, the Church of Jesus Christ has the Laodicean spirit. It's apathetic. We're compromising and we're not alive in the things of God. We're not expecting the supernatural. We're living ordinary lives in our strength with our resources. This shouldn't be, friends. We have the Lord of the universe, our maker, our creator, who wants to bless us, provide for us. Friends, some of us have, probably most of us, will have unsaved friends, perhaps unsaved partners or children or parents or uncles or nephews or nieces. Neighbours, we will all have them. And my question is, are those who know us, do they see the supernatural in your life? Or are you depending on your own finances, your own resources, your own strength, your own ability? So that when trouble comes or when bad news comes, When circumstances suddenly change, yes, friends, we're all emotional. We have our fears. We can cry out. We weep. We joy. We are emotional people. But do we react in exactly the same way as our unbelieving partner? Perhaps we're even worse. We just go in full fear and anxiety mode because we haven't learnt to look to Jesus and receive what he has for us, even the word of God. Friends, are we reliant on our own resources, our own strength, our own intelligence even, our education and our finances to save us? Or are we looking to Jesus? If we're not, we are no different than our unbelieving neighbours, our unbelieving husbands, unbelieving wives. Are they seeing Jesus in us? Please, Lord. Please, Lord. We are supernatural. We have Christ himself indwelling us by his Spirit. That is amazing. Christ liveth in you. The hope of glory. We have to access this, friends, by faith. We should be sick of living mundane lives. Sick of it. Totally sick of it. When we're the Lord's. I will run to you. I want to see your face. We can see his face through faith now. Jesus, heaven come down. Psalm 27 and verse 4 and 5. This is our text. Psalm 27 verse 4 and 5. I preached on this not that long ago. But I'm just dealing with it in a different way, as I believe the Lord has shown me. Verse 4 of Psalm 27. Oh, I'm getting so excited, my water's tipping over. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Hallelujah. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, yes, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. That's faith. That's faith. Friends, your Bible is from the Lord himself. May we hear the word of God. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Blessed is he who reads and hears the word of this revelation, this prophecy, and keeps the things that are written in it, for the time is near. Ah, the word of God. What a strength it is. Remind you that in 3 weeks' time on Saturday, or 2 weeks Saturday, we have the first of the Answers in Prophecy meetings beginning at 7 o'clock. I do hope you'll be able to come and be inviting others of your friends and people from other fellowships to the meeting. We need to hear what God is saying. We need to understand the times we're living in. I do believe for such a day as this we have been called. God is so gracious to us. There is a global collapse coming, friends. It's looming large. There is a global economic collapse coming. The Word of God tells us that in these last days, Jerusalem will become an increasingly heavy burden. It will be... the word tells us that there will be wars. In fact, a fantastic war like no other wars at some point involving the Middle East. And Israel and Iran may well come to blows, which will impact the region. This one world economic system, this one world government, this one world religion is predicted in the scriptures. We're hastening to it. How should we live? We need to be under the supernatural blessing of God. We are moving quickly to the scenario which is painted in Revelation chapter 13, which talks about a global government, a one world economic system, along with the mark of the beast. I've hinted that I fear that the majority of the church, particularly in the Western nations, is the Laodicean church. We've lost our spiritual vision. We're living for today. Last week, we just showed that 2 minute clip of One Direction. I wanted to impact you with the folly of living just for today, saying, today I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Live today as if there's no tomorrow. There is a tomorrow, and the tomorrow may well be meeting the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1 and verse 13. Revelation 13, verse 13. This beast performs great signs, and he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands, who has understanding, calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. I say again that the majority of the Western nations and the church in the Western nation seems to be having the mentality of the Laodicean church. It's lost its spiritual vision. It's lost its power. It's not the root cause, dear friends, that we've been seduced into substituting the philosophies of man for the word of God. We've had the Rick Warrens, we've had so many stuff which has hit and bombarded, which has been our source and inspiration, but not the word of God. Are we not living in the days of the apostasy, where the Apostle Paul speaks, particularly in 2 Thessalonians? False teachers, false prophets abound in our time. But of course they don't wear badges which says false teacher, false preacher. But friends, I want to tell you this. The future is not all doom and gloom. Hallelujah. We need to be aware of the word of God so that we are prepared, that we're standing on the promises of God. But the future is not doom and gloom. I believe this with all of my... I believe this more today than I believed it 12 months ago and 2 years ago. As I've waited upon the Lord, as I've studied the scriptures, I believe that God is preparing and going to be doing something powerful and wonderful in his church and in his people in these last days. I do believe that. I do believe that the remnant church, wherever they are found, God is going to do something amazing and wonderful and glorious. Yes, friends, I believe there will be a revival. Hallelujah. I believe there will be a turning to the living Lord God, the biblical Jesus. I'm not talking about the false counterfeit revivals which are of man, which promise much and deliver little. I'm not talking about the counterfeit. I'm talking about when heaven comes down to earth. Believe for revival. Believe for a turning to the Lord God. The Lord is longing and he's delaying his coming because there's still many who will turn to the Jesus Christ, and he wants his church revived, restored into wholeness. I'm referring to a biblically based revival, a harvest of souls before the return of Jesus Christ. And God wants you and me, God wants his church to walk under the supernatural covering, the protection and the supply of Almighty God. But we need to recognize the good and the bad of our present day reality. And friends, as a nation, and most of the nations and America, etc., are being prepared for this. You know, unless we repent of our apostasy and unbelief, we will move into a police-type state sooner than we ought to. I'm not a conspiratorialist. Is that the right word? You know what I mean. It's conspiratorialist. Some people, they can spend hours on the internet researching and getting all sorts of... But what I do know, the Illuminati is true, is active. There's a group of 12 or so men who are actually the secret government. And although they may claim to be humanists, they have bowed the knee to Lucifer. They're Satanists. They worship. I don't mean the Satanists, but they're worshipping the one. Friends, these men and women are moving us towards a global government, a new world order, a one-world economic system. And they're anticipating resistance. And they've been preparing this for years. Many Christians think it's spiritual to ignore these things, but I don't think it is. I don't think we should be alarmists. God forbid. I'm a person of hope, friends. But we've got to be real, or else these things will suddenly hit us like a thief in the night. We won't be ready. I want to be a prepared people that we're ready. And that we will be a triumphant people in Jesus. The United Nations and other satanic-inspired bodies and organizations have planned many, many years ago to change society. This is fact, friends. I can give you the documents. That their goal is to change society, to change governments, to change religions. And I have to say it, friends, that dear Rick Warren is being used in this. As he is seeking to change the nations by good works and making this world a better place. Because the goal of the United Nations was set up, a noble goal, but was by becoming one, peace will reign. That's their goal, that peace will reign. The primary purpose of the United Nations, this is written down, is documented, as it was set up. The primary purpose of the United Nations is one world government. The founders and those who are leading it today believe that all mankind's problems can be solved by world government, a one world government, and by the governments becoming one. Look at the Tower of Babel in Genesis. God says a global government is evil. A global government is evil. Why did God judge Babel? In their hearts, they wanted to be like God. They wanted to be like God. One world government is a Luciferian government. It is. And let me tell you, it is a counterfeit government to the one Jesus is going to set up. Hallelujah, glory. There's a counterfeit to what is coming. And as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, you're already part of the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are in his kingdom. Hallelujah. But one day, he is going to reign on earth. And we will reign with him. A day when the lion will lay down with the lamb. Oh, friends, cats will speak to dogs. It's going to be a wonderful day. Jesus will be there, reigning with true justice. But this is the counterfeit, what is happening. I don't want to be part of it. John said, no, don't belong to the world system as if it's yours. We're separate. We're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. It's a counterfeit government to what Jesus is going to set up, and we're going to shine in these days. I want to live under the supernatural blessing of the Lord. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is my safety. He is my refuge. I love you, Lord. Do you think evolution came by accident? It was planned. Do you think that the destruction of the traditional family has just happened? No, it's been planned. Planned for years. Do you think that the promotion of sexual immorality and all kinds of perversions has just come along? No, it's been planned. The destruction of Christianity and a belief that Jesus Christ is the one way to the Father, one way to God, been years in planning that we cannot say that all religions and faith are equal. We've got to accept and be tolerant of one another. No absolutes now. My beliefs cannot be any better or greater than yours, even though mine are based on the word of God. The destruction of Christianity has been planned, and it starts with the children in the school. They are being indoctrinated, and we are being indoctrinated. That is why I say this has to be our bread. This is the way we can resist. It is written, I'm standing on the promises of God. The one word, dear friends, is controlled at the very highest level by an elite satanic secret society. Yes, there does exist this satanic elite. These men who are at the very top are ruling the world through banking and international finance. I say publicly, these dear men pretend to be humanist. But they have secretly chosen to worship Lucifer. And they are in the final process of taking over when they will bring in the one world government and one world economic system. Okay, what does the Bible say? Turn with me to Ephesians and chapter 6. Because I'll tell you, this is not doom and gloom. We need to be prepared so that we're not taken unawares. Friends, Jesus says, I'm coming as a thief in the night. He's not talking to the believer who's alert. He's talking to the believer who's asleep. And those who are in the world. Hallelujah. These things will not take us unawares. Doesn't mean that they won't shock us and cause us concern. But we know the end of the story. Hallelujah. We know Christ is coming. Hallelujah. This world is passing away. Oh, I love this. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, he can use men, he can use women. That's why we test the spirits to see if they are of God. We can stand if we put on the armor of God. Hallelujah. We can stand. We don't need to fall. We don't need to. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Friends, we got the prayer meeting Wednesday. There's a place and a time for praying for the bunion on Aunt Lois's knee. You know, bunions on knees, on feet. There's a place for that, friends. There is a place. We should bear one another's burdens. We should pray for one another. I do believe that. And expect the Lord to touch. But our praying in these days must be more and more getting God's business done on earth. See, in his kingdom. And that we'll be alert, encouraging one another. I hope we can all come, or those of us who are able, that we come when we have these public times of prayer and really wait upon the Lord. Really wait upon him and do true biblical warfare and allow the Lord to speak to us so that we will indeed be that city that is set upon a hill, that light which is not hidden. And verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I quoted this a few weeks ago. You know how we pray for one. Hey, I'm praying as boldness. I'm praying the spirit of boldness on you, that when you utter the words, they're anointed from on high, and they will accomplish what God wants. Full of the word, full of the word of God. Principalities, it talks about principalities and powers. Ruling authorities, which are both the visible, in the visible, and the invisible realms. Friends, we see throughout the New Testament, don't we, an invisible hierarchy of evil powers who deceive and manipulate society and individuals. Thereby what they're doing is advancing Satan's strategy. I want to tell you something else. Christ is above them. Christ is above them. Christ is above them. Christ is above them. Just turn, as we conclude, with it to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. We'll start at verse 18. Ephesians 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Exceeding. More than enough is exceeding. That's available for you. For you, for me. Sorry. Exceeding power available for us. Oh, I love this. It's exceeding greatness of his power to all us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of him. I don't feel like it often, but the Lord is wanting to do this new thing for us. It's not a new thing to him. But I don't want to be having the Laodicean, apathetic, lukewarm spirit. I don't want it. We have to be alive to these days. Chapter 3 and verse 8. Ephesians 3 and verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. It's part of God's eternal purpose that you're here today. Like the Hebrew slaves in Egypt, God made a way of supernatural deliverance if God's people worshipped him as their God and source. He made a way. Worship me only. He provided. He's your source. He's your sufficiency. And friends, yes, this does mean learning how to access God's supernatural power to supply all our needs. The tragedy is the majority of God's people are in spiritual deception and are blind to what is happening, but God does not want us to be among those. I hope we can take these things seriously, that we will get involved more in prayer and biblical warfare to discern the times, to make a difference, and to live under the supernatural protection and the supply of our God. We say it again, there's no lack with him. Lord, increase my desire, increase my faith. Let's just add the Psalm 27 verses 4 and 5 up if we will, and let's read it together. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. He's going to set you high. He's going to set you high on a rock. Remember, you are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus.